I'm Kevin Kelly. The program is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And I think you will agree that we have a rather interesting program for you, and it couldn't be more varied. My first guest is a fellow named Michael Rouse, who has been to the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana a number of times and has developed a rather special relationship with them. He does these pieces that he usually calls or often calls operas, but they're really multimedia theatrical slash musical slash visual events. And the new one is no exception to that. He calls this one a song cycle. It involves lots of singing instruments, but as you would expect from the past, there's also many visual elements to it, and it is called Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio. It's going to be at the Krannert Center tomorrow and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Studio Theater there. Michael Rouse will be my first guest on the show. And then, for a complete non sequitur, Nonsense 2 is the current musical at Parkland College Theater. That opens this weekend, and their music director, Tim Shermer, is with us to talk about it and, I hope, share some musical excerpts. But first, we want to remind you, if you've been listening for some portion of the day already, or let you know if you're just tuning in for this program, that we're in this special mini pledge drive right now, looking to raise some money to support the stations here at WILL, and in particular, of course, Live and Local right now. The airwaves certainly are not reserved just for us announcers, and we welcome the voices on this show of artists, poets, musicians, performers of just about every sort to be on the air with us and often perform live for us. And hence we call it Live and Local. And we hope you agree you get a clearer picture of what's happening in our community and some in-depth glimpses of upcoming performances and cultural events. And we invite you to call our pledge line at 217-244-9455. Or use your credit card and give online at willpledge.org. In the studio with me, before we get to talking with Michael Rouse, is WILL's Major Gifts Director, Donda Beard. Thanks for coming in, Donda.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here. I really am excited about the first few months of Live and Local, and I really feel like it illustrates our connection to the community. I mean, you connect with us through the radio, but we're providing that larger connection with Kevin's show so that we can connect to all the arts in our community. And we want to remind you that we do this work, the kind of work that brings you great classical music during the day and the kind that connects to you with local artists and happenings with your financial support. So we do invite you to call 244-9455 with a pledge of support right now during this special drive. There's an added benefit to the community when you make a pledge right now. Common Ground Food Co-op in Urbana has graciously agreed to contribute the cost of 3 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge made to WILL in any amount during this mini drive. So support WILL and help fight hunger. What you need to do is to call now to participate. Again, that number 217-244-9455, or you can use your credit card and give online and get that same great deal at willpledge.org.
Thanks, Donna. And it is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Michael Rouse is coming up. Little music by Johann Sebastian Bach. It was an excerpt from one of his numerous cantatas played here on the cello by Yo-Yo Ma and the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra led by Ton Koopman. It was only Ton Koopman, I believe, on the organ in that particular excerpt. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local music and more. And in the case of my first guest, if you come to his show tomorrow night or Saturday night at the Krannert Center in the Studio Theater there, You will be getting a little music, a lot of music, and a lot more. I mean, it's sort of a combination of all those things. Michael Rouse is presenting a program called Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio, and he has been a number of times to the Krannert Center and has developed a rather special relationship with the Krannert Center over the years. And I'll let him, first of all, say hello. Thank you very much for coming in the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And why don't you tell us, in your own words, some sort of introduction to what Michael Rouse does?
I'm a composer and a director, so I make these sort of musical pieces. Sometimes they're large. Two of the three operas of the trilogy were both done at Krannert Center. Dennis Cleveland, which was staged as a television talk show opera, and The End of Cinematics, which was staged as a three-dimensional live film. So those are sort of quite large productions. This is a smaller production with a smaller ensemble, guitar, singer, string quartet, news reader. And the idea of Gravity Radio was inspired by a physicist named Raymond Chow, who has been trying to prove the existence of gravity waves, which are exist in theory, but it hasn't been proven. And I've been grateful to work with the National Center for Supercomputing on the last piece, The End of Cinematics, so it seemed like a natural fit. And as I worked on the piece and on the film, it started to evolve into something more about my experiences with radio as a child. So we decided to use these shortwave radio signals to sort of simulate the way radio would drift in and out as I was a child growing up in southeast Missouri waiting for the local stations to shut down. So WLS in Chicago would come up and then the magic of Motown would happen. And for all I knew, coming from a small town, maybe it was coming from Mars. I simply had no idea where it was coming from. I just knew it was amazing. So I kind of wanted to recapture that feel in live performance and also comment on infotainment and on how news organizations, especially television news organizations, whether intentionally or not, manipulate the news through the use of music. You know, every time there's a catastrophe or anything that happens in the news, there's a theme for it immediately. And I think it has an effect on how people perceive the news. So what we do is we collect new news stories from the AP for each show so that the reports are updated. And those are orchestrated by the string quartet. They sort of represent interludes between the songs. And it becomes a really interesting way to sort of update the news for people and at the same time allow them a chance to maybe reflect how music affects their perception of the news that they're hearing.
Well, here is a couple of excerpts from the CD version of this show, mm-hmm. Which should illustrate in some degree what you just described. And we'll just let listeners check this out, and then we'll talk about it
great
in just a second. Michael Rouse, my guest on Live and Local. These are excerpts from his Gravity Radio.
And everyone tells me you've arrived, but how do they know where I was heading? And if you multiply my disappointment by the world...
Couple of excerpts from Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio, which is going to be presented in its entirety Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in the Studio Theater there, which should be a wonderful venue for it. It's a very intimate space, and you can do all kinds of things with it. I'm guessing that you'll probably be surrounded by stuff to interact with which to interact. Michael Rouse is my guest on Live and Local for this portion of the program. Coming up, by the way, Tim Schirmer, music director at Parkland Theater, we'll be sharing some excerpts from Nonsense 2, just for something rather different from what you're hearing. But Michael, why don't you comment on what we did just hear a little bit?
Well, it's sort of an idea that the reports, you know, are not just, as I said, updated for each performance with current news, but they're interwoven with lyrics from some of the songs and certain sort of phrases that can maybe foreshadow a song that might come in. And as the news reports change daily, they start to change the effect of the songs and the lyrics of the songs. So songs can take on different meanings. And what I love about the show is that, especially for us, the performers, it starts to completely affect the way we think about a certain song, because it might be followed by a humorous story or a tragic story or a different story. And hopefully for the audience, it's having a similar effect.
So when you do this show on in one location, you might have one set of news reports. But when you come to Urbana, you might have a whole other set of...
Oh, yeah. And we'll have completely different news for the Friday performance as well as the Saturday performance, because, you know, the news is always, you know, changing. So that's kind of the idea behind
yeah.
the piece. And it sounds kind of like, you know, sort of maybe just a small convention, but it really does have a huge effect in terms of how you perceive the piece. It's very like a lot of my work, which seems more classically structured than, say, the aesthetic of John Cage and Merce Cunningham. There's a real thread there in terms of the element that chance operations brings into a piece. And what I like is that someone's relationship to the song changes because, you know, this news report might be about Walmart layoffs, but this other news report might be about, you know, a humorous human interest story. And so people will come up and they'll say, how did you do that? I mean, they completely relate. And what they don't always understand is that they're bringing their own set of connections to the piece. And I've always tried to find stuff that would kind of allow an audience to be a creative participant rather than a passive participant.
The song that followed that news report was called Stay in School. I mean, do you mean that as a direct commentary to somebody or an actual urging or just in the larger context?
I think in the larger context. I mean, a lot of the songs are very personal to me, but at the same time, they're kind of intended to be vague enough that they can be influenced, shall we say, by the various AP reports that we use for each performance.
On the recording, you're credited with all of the instruments involved.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be doing all the instruments of the string quartet and so on on the
weekend, that's correct. That's correct. There's a larger kind of band feel to the recording. I'm very much involved in thinking that, you know, while a recording can be a reflection of a band or a live performance, I also like the idea that a recording is its own piece of art, its own piece of finished work. So the recording I'm very proud of. I think it's one of my better recordings. But I've always liked the idea of going on the road with a different version. So with this version, we actually, with the help of my music director, Matt Gandolfo, we took string arrangements that were on the record but that were much more laid back, and we actually completely changed the arrangements so that they could function more in the context of these songs. So what we have now is a much more intimate performance and a much more intimate setting for the news reports and the songs to kind of coexist. And I mean, they're the same songs. You'll notice a lot of the same information that's on the CD, but it's kind of a fun way to have your cake and eat it too, because I get to have, in some ways, a completely new and different piece for the live performance.
You're the singer on the songs, but you're bringing other singers with you as well?
My music director, Matt Gandolfo, sings as well, as he's also sort of the radio technician for the live news reader, who is performing admirably well. Her name is Claire Kenny, and she's been wonderful. And of course, the string quartet is the Set String Quartet.
I kind of deliberately, semi-deliberately, chose your introductory music, so to speak, which was music of Bach, partly as contrast to what they might hear, but also by way of a lead-in to this question, which is that you have some classical training, a lot of classical training.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners who are into Bach, as many of our listeners who to this particular radio station are, what do you think, and who maybe don't think that they're into quote-unquote pop music,
mm-hmm.
What do you think's in it for them musically?
Well, you know, a lot of composers from my generation, I was born in the late 50s, kind of come at that from a number of angles. And what was always interesting to me about music of structure, something like Bach is a perfect example, was the structure, not necessarily the instrumentation or the time period with which he worked, but the idea of the structure. So what I think is in it for them is Gravity Radio in particular, but even with the other operas like Dennis Cleveland, the Cinematics, they sound very much like produced, you know, pop or rock records. But there is a level of complexity and composition within those songs. And the idea is, for me, is that it allows people to enter it on different levels. You can actually listen to Gravity Radio as a pop record and think, if you like that tune, that's a great tune. If you listen deeper or further in, you can actually start to hear the kinds of structures and isorhythms and metric combinations that I'm interested in. You can hear the theme and variation, because there's a thread that follows all the songs and is recapitulated in a different key. So there's lots of classical structure in what appears to be a pop veneer. And I find that to be a really sort of a really rewarding way to work.
How early in your own writing experience as a composer did you start creating this kind of piece as opposed to something much smaller scale? Let's say, did you ever write a string quartet first?
Oh, I have a whole book of string quartets, yeah. And I think, I mean, actually to the addendum to your question would also be that this incarnation of Gravity Radio, the live performance, because of the arrangements we did for string quartet, I think the combination of an acoustic guitar, singer, and string quartet is something that that's attractive to almost any audience, and certainly a classical audience would like that. But, when I first started out, I had a pop band called Ture Ture, and I had a chamber group called Michael Rouse Broken Consort, which was everything from – it was all fully scored music, but it was everything from a small chamber orchestra to a small sort of jazz instrumentation combo. And then I think it was the modern operas where I finally kind of started to combine my love of songwriting with my love of classical structure, and that kind of created this hybrid music that, as I described earlier, can feel like pop music, but there's a lot more going on than just the normal pop music.
Michael Rouse is my guest on Live and Local. His production's called Gravity Radio this Friday and Saturday night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Starts at 7:30 each evening in the Studio Theater there. And he's been at the Krannert Center a number of times already. And I wanted a minute to ask you about your relationship to this particular space and maybe how it's helped you create some of your pieces. But first, I do want to remind listeners, first, that this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we're on just for this 1 hour each weekday, Monday through Friday. And the show means to bring you lots of different kinds of performers or other kinds of producers who are bringing live music locally, whether they are local performers, which they often are, maybe performing live in your studio, or like Michael Rouse, who is a guest, although many will think this is your second home as often as you've been here, but bringing his performances to the local populace, so to speak. And this is one of the few times a year, today and tomorrow, where we actually get a chance to ask you to support the program and the station with your financial contributions. And you can do it very easily by calling 217-244-9455. For the numerically challenged, that spells out Big Will, 217 Big Will. Or you can go online with your credit card, pledge there, willpledge.org. Of course, you can use your credit card at the phone number, too. Michael, your program is called Gravity Radio, so I assume that you are no foreigner to public radio. What would be your commentary to these folks to maybe suggest why they might call in some way that they haven't thought of before?
Well, because it's an alternative to corporate radio and to commercial radio. And I think if you like or you don't like what you hear on a show like this, you should be really, really grateful that it's there. I'm actually drawn to things that upset me and don't always necessarily go along with the social norm. And I think public radio, serves that purpose. When I'm in New York City, WMYC, my local public radio station, is pretty much how I get the news and the music and the culture that I trust, much more from television or from commercial radio. So I'm a big proponent, and I hope that everybody will contribute to the drive.
Here's Don DeBeard to give you a few specifics and talk about a partner we have for this particular drive.
Right. We have a partner in Common Ground Food Co-op in Urbana, and they have graciously agreed to contribute the cost of 3 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge made to WILL during this mini drive. So you can help our community in two ways by making a gift right now. You can support WILL and help to fight hunger in a small but important way just by calling 217-244-9455 and making your gift to WILL in any amount you choose, whether you choose to join us at $40 and receive Patterns Magazine every month, or you choose the $5 a month level, $10 a month, you decide. But we hope you'll choose now to go to the phone. We stand at about 50 calls, I think, so far today. So you can help us make progress for WILL and for the food bank by calling 217-244-9455 or by going online to willpledge.org. We hope you'll join us right now on Live and Local. Local, lingle, live and lingle.
Well,
yeah, something like that.
I wrote down for a while all of the little combinations I was doing on the weather. Snow and sleet equals sneet.
Very nice.
Drizzle and I forget what the other one. Something came out drizzable. Well, in any event, it is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, my guest Michael Rouse for this portion of the show. And here is another excerpt from the CD version of his Gravity Radio, which is coming to the Cranert Center this weekend. This is a song that is called I'm So Blue.
When I learned to drive myself over my reactions, over my mind gone blind.
Michael Rouse performing his own composition called I'm So Blue. In fact, he's doing both the singing and the instrumentals in this performance, this recorded performance. He will be doing some of the singing, most of the singing, but bringing with him a number of performing guests when he produces Gravity Radio this weekend at the Cranert Center, 7:30 on Friday and Saturday night. And for more information, you can visit their website. It's cranertcenter.com. And Michael Rouse, my guest on this portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I love that song, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's a rather touching song. There's lots of other songs on there that I like, but it sort of stands out to me, at least on this CD, as being just a straight-out love song. At least that's how it sounds to me.
Yeah.
Is that how you meant it?
Yeah, but I think it's like, again, there's so much on this record that's metaphor. So, you know, it could just as well be about the economy. It could be about so many things, but it certainly obviously can be read that way.
And that, at least listening to the CD without in the visual context,
yes,
that people will experience over the weekend.
And the visual context, if I may, is a film that I shot over the last 2 or 3 years, my first HD film, which I was really excited about. And back in the days of the third opera, the Indocinematics, Mike Rouse introduced me to some folks at the National Center for Supercomputing, Donna Cox, Bob Patterson and Jeff Carpenter, and we worked on that piece together. And so I was thrilled that they wanted to be involved with Gravity Radio. And so a fun part of this piece for me, where we are with technology, is that I sent the high-def tapes to Jeff Carpenter, and we edited this film together long distance, he in Urbana and me in New York. And so I just want to give him the credit he deserves. He did a wonderful job with the edit, and the NCSA has been a really, really great collaborator, I think not only for me but for other people who've worked at the Cranert Center.
You actually, in your bio, give special credit to the Cranert Center for helping shape some of your work.
Yeah, I mean, without them, certain pieces wouldn't have happened. I mean, it's funny that you say this almost looks like my second home, because I would say in the United States, the Cranert Center, and, you know, under Mike Rouse's direction, is one of the few organization still interested in producing, not just presenting, but producing new work. And certainly the performances of Dennis Cleveland wouldn't have happened at Lincoln Center had we not had the ability to update and upgrade that show at the Cranert Center, because it was originally a black box piece, but it was such a large cast and a large camera crew that we had to figure out how to keep it intimate, but get it to at least 750 to 900 seats. And that happened at the Cranert Center.
I think you did it at the Festival Theater
there.
We did
the Festival Theater, yeah.
Where opera is normally done.
Exactly. And then with the Indocinematics, you know, they provided the workspace for us in the theater, in the Playhouse Theaters, for us to build that piece before we took it on an international tour. And they've done that for, you know, many artists of all different styles and persuasions. And I just think it's sort of, you know, one of America's national treasures.
Bridget Lee Kalfas, who is sitting in our studio with us, public information director there. You're writing this down, aren't you, Bridget?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Kevin, we feel the same way about Michael that he feels about the center. And as you said, Mike Rouse is so committed to producing new work because it's how we further the field. And Michael does such relevant work that we really welcome the opportunity to collaborate with him and other organizations like the Builders Association that was here last year are doing, in some ways, the same type of technology integrated work. And we're so fortunate to have the center at our disposal to be able to give those resources to different artists around the country.
Thanks, Bridget. And talk just briefly before I'm going to do a couple of other another of the reports maybe, and another of the songs before we move on to Nonsense, the musical at Parkland Theater. This idea of counter poetry, what do you mean by that, and how is that represented in this piece?
Well, I got really interested when with the first opera, Failing Kansas, which was inspired by Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. I was just knocked out by that book and his craft of writing and his search for what he called a new art form, which was the nonfiction novel. And I was probably at the right age where I thought I'd like to do something, you know, that interesting. And so as I was trying to figure out how I would set the text, I decided to go to the New York Public Library and go through the Capote archives and use the same trial transcripts that he used to write the book, but assemble it in a different way. And as I worked on it, I realized that an interesting way to approach this would be to score the text in very strict metric counterpoint, but have it spoken as opposed to pitched. So it was this idea that you could, and of course, all hip-hop was really becoming popular, very underground hip-hop in the late 70s and early 80s in New York City. So there was obviously a parallel there. So it was a way to sort of have very, very structured spoken text or spoken word, as it were. And I thought it was a wonderful technique. And I did call it counter poetry just so I'd have a way to describe it. And then I used it in Dennis Cleveland, and I've used it in different ways. And I suppose it kind of translates into this work in having the texts that I wrote that complement the news reports with the string quartet. So it just finds a way to manifest itself in all the different pieces, but usually in a very different way each time.
So the little texts that come out of the news reports rather unexpectedly. You think you're listening to the news, I mean, which we tend to tune out.
Right.
And all of a sudden you realize, this is not news. She's making some commentary about life or...
Yeah. You know. And the idea that the news reporter on the CD, it's a wonderful Broadway and film actress in New York named Vianne Cox, but we're fortunate to have Claire Kinney with us reading the reports on this live tour. And the idea that it's read in the same sort of way, that they're not separated from the news, yeah, that can be a little jarring, but it can also be a way to sort of reflect on the news and, as I said again, on the difference between, say, news and infotainment. And so I find that to be kind of a charming part of the show.
Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio is at Krannert Center Friday and Saturday, 7:30 each night, Studio Theater there. For information, krannertcenter.com or call 217-333-6280. I think I'm remembering that right. Is that right? Just nod, Bridget. Yes, that's right. I get so many numbers mixed up. Michael Rouse, my guest on Live and Local for this portion. I thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's been a great pleasure to meet you and hear you talk about this in person. And here are two excerpts. These are non sequiturs because I've taken them not in order.
Perfect.
So this is our version of doing it live, I guess.
I think that's great.
One of the reports and one of the songs. Thanks again.
Thank you.
From Gravity Radio here on Live and Local.
Part of the pleasure is pouring for yourself, setting your own pace. This is lost to America.
Music from and a news report from Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio. This is the CD version, of course, and the song was called, which one did I cue up here? The Silence of Sound, Michael Rouse performing. And, of course, he was my guest on the just-finished portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Tim Schirmer is standing by with Parkland Theater to talk about Nonsense 2, The Second Coming, which opens in Champaign this weekend. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And the show is meant to bring you lots of local performers or producers or whoever is bringing you these creations, helping to create the musical and theatrical products that you can go see live. That's the whole point, to encourage you to go out, see live music, see live theater. And we hope that you enjoy hearing in depth from people like Michael Rouse about how they create their productions, what their music is like, and sometimes how hear them perform it live in a very intimate setting here at the studio. This is our brief mini January pledge drive, and we invite you, encourage you to call to support this program with your contributions. The phone number is 217-244-9455. You can use your credit card that way, or go online and do the same at willpledge.org. Donda Beard from WILO's Development Department is with me now to give you a few other details.
I am indeed. Just reminding you that making connections with the cultural arts in our community is really an important part of our work here at WILL. And Live and Local, this program especially, kind of cements our communities together, the cultural arts community with the media community. And I hope that this fund drive gives you an opportunity to support that work. We know it does. So, and we hope that you will call right now to make maybe even your first ever pledge of support or renew your membership in this valued community resource. This really is your public radio station. The number to call is 217-244-9455. And we have an added incentive to offer you when you make a pledge of support to WILL. You decide the amount. Common Ground Food Co-op in Urbana has generously agreed to donate 3 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every gift WILL receives during this 3-day drive. We're hoping for 250 contributions. And so far, over 50 have come in. So we'd like to add your support to the 50 people who've already called. This is the perfect time to increase the impact of your pledge to your public radio station with a gift to the food bank as well. Again, 244-9455, or you can give online with that same great deal at willpledge.org.
And since this is such a short drive here, it's frankly intended to bring us additional needed money during, you know, this particular economic time that everybody knows all about. For this show, we have only today and tomorrow to ask you to support it. So I certainly will appreciate knowing that we've got lots of listeners out there who enjoy the program sufficiently to make a contribution to support it. 217-BIG-WILL, the number to call. My next guest is Tim Schirmer, who is a professor of music at Parkland College and music director for Parkland Theater's production of Nonsense 2, The Second Coming. Book, music, and lyrics by Dan Goggin. Director is J.W. Morissette. And I'm pleased to see that at least some of the folks who were in the previous production of the original Nonsense, which I got to see, are returning.
That's true.
Tim, turn your microphone a little more towards you and tell us about Nonsense 2.
Well, it is The Second Coming, and that probably says it all. But it is actually, as we were discussing just briefly before the show, it's the second coming of six more following that. There's a total of 8 Nonsense shows now.
Really? I had no idea.
They opened their last one called Nonsensical. I can't remember what it's called now anyway. It's the Nuns in Las Vegas. There's another one where the nuns do Fiddler on the Roof. On a cruise ship, so Mr. Goggins has made quite a cottage industry of this show. Number 2 is my only experience besides number 1 so far. The humor and the music and the dance, everything about it is just as entertaining as number 1, if not more so. And the good news is that since it's nuns, you would expect it to be family friendly, and it pretty much is. Anything that's there that's questionable is in the ear of the beholder, and shame on you for that. If you thought those things, as the Reverend Mother will be happy to remind you of during the performance. But it's if you're Catholic or you know any Catholics, it's even if you don't, it's hysterical. It's really a funny show.
Well, I am not Catholic, although I know plenty.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was an absolute blast. And LaDonna Wilson is returning as
LaDonna is,
the
returning the Reverend this Mother. Year. Yeah, she's returning this year as Reverend Mother. She's been promoted. She was Sister Hubert in the previous incarnation.
Right. Sister Hubert, did Sister Hubert have a last name? They usually don't, do they?
No, I don't think so. I don't believe she did, but...
I have one grave disappointment.
What's that?
My favorite person from the last production is not here. Anne-Marie Bully Morissette was. I forget which her character was, but
Sister Amnesia.
Her expressions.
The torch has been passed on to quite a lovely young lady who's a Parkland theater major who does Anne-Marie very proud. You'll be very surprised.
And her name is?
And her name is, you have the program actually.
Cecily, Cecily. Do you say it? Rhea?
Cecily Rhee.
I think I've seen her in something before.
She was in, this is her first year. She was at Parkland. You would have seen her only in Lend Me a Tenor, if you saw that.
I did see that.
So.
And who was her role
She was
there?
The ingenue, the girl who falls for Max.
I saw her then. She did a wonderful
job. She's very, very talented. The whole cast, all of them. There are 7 or 8 Parkland students in it. As J.W. did in the previous incarnation of Nonsense, he's added school children, the students who, you know, sort of make up the student body, part of it at least, at the Mount St. Helens Catholic School. You'll get the kick out of this. The pit is called the Mount St. Helens Eruptions. So that's the band's name officially in this version.
Okay, that's the official
name?
That's
the official in the script. The name of the band is the Mount St. Helens Eruptions.
Well, here are the Eruptions and the cast of Nonsense 2, at least in this recorded production, in the opening number. This is Jubilate Deo and Nonsense the Magic Word. You have your introduction, if you hadn't heard anything about the show before, to Nonsense 2, The Second Coming. Jubilate Deo is the opening music, and then it launches into Nonsense, The Magic Word. Nonsense 2 is opening at Parkland Theater this weekend.
It actually opened last night.
It did open last night. Okay, the 20th. What is today? The 28th?
Yes.
Oh, that was yesterday. Yeah. And then on a Friday and Saturday, performances at 7:30, and then the next weekend, Thursday through Saturday in the evening, and then one matinee on Sunday.
And actually, there are 2 matinees this year. Since we're doing it in 2 weekends, we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday next weekend. That's the 4th, 5th, and 6th at 7:30. And then Saturday, there's a 3 p.m. matinee as well as Sunday, 3 p.m. matinee.
So, Tim Schirmer, I'm glad we brought you in so you can actually correct everything I'm saying wrong here.
It's good that I know a few things. Actually, I had to study up on it myself. So,
and I even have it printed right in front of me, and I can't seem to get it straight. Tim Schirmer is music director for the show, and you music directed the first one.
I did.
Which was how many years ago now?
8 years
was
ago.
It really? No kidding.
Yeah.
And do you have plans to do the next one at some point?
I don't think I'll live long enough to do all 8 of them, but no, I don't know. You never know, you know. We just might. It's hard telling. It depends upon what Randy Hard, the artistic director, decides the season needs to be.
I imagine that the trick for anybody presenting this, or maybe the real trick, is for the writers when they create these pieces. You kind of alluded to it earlier, to make sure you don't cross the line from irreverence to sacrilege.
It's true, and it's really funny. That there are probably, I would say, including myself, there are probably 11 out of the cast who are Catholics. Cast and the 3/4 of the band are Catholic, raised Catholic anyway, and so it's interesting to watch the reactions and to see a couple. Sometimes there were ad libs thrown in the rehearsal process that garnered a little bit of a
maybe
did you
not
really
do that
say
one?
That. Yeah, so the. That's the only place that I think when you're doing these shows you have to be cautious about. You want to encourage generally that kind of participation, you know, and that kind of creativity.
But, meaning some ad-libbing.
Yeah, and because it's sort of in the style of this show. There is a line, and it's pretty clear, you know, when you cross it. I think it's, as you say, it's irreverent, and it's not making fun of, it's having fun with the whole growing up Catholic and being taught by nuns and the whole nuns. The nuns who have seen the show, at least the nuns who saw the first one, were some of the people I think who enjoyed it most.
I remember going to a production at the Station Theater in Urbana and Welcome to Tolono, I think, mm-hmm. which was an extremely irreverent production and really quite beyond. And there were a bunch of red hat ladies there, which I'd only just recently heard of. And, you know, there's some of us sort of sitting around twittering, in the old way when you say Twitter. Are they going to stay? And they, sure enough, were back and obviously having a grand time. So, you know, maybe the nuns the same thing in this.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely nothing that I don't think anybody would find objectionable. I just can't imagine what someone would, as I said before, Sister Reverend Mother would be the first to tell you that if you thought that, shame on you.
I have to tell you that when I saw the original production you did of Nonsense, I think it still is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
The audience reaction last night was over the top. I was really surprised. I was very surprised that their reaction was in very, very happy, loud, vociferous applause, standing up, jumping. I mean, literally participating in the entire event last night throughout the show.
Well, it is definitely going on my list of things to see, and it's a growing list, but it's on the list, and I'm going to try to get there, and would encourage as many of our listeners who are able to go out and do that. That's the point of the show, Live and Local, to get you to go out and see live and local performances.
Absolutely.
And Tim Shermer, music director for Parkland's production of Nonsense 2, The Second Coming. You've got two weekends to get there. For more information, Parkland, where is it here? Parkland.edu/theater. We'll get you to the page about all the shows there.
Or you can call 217-351-2528. 351-2528 is the box office to make reservations.
Thank you very much, Tim, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Here's another excerpt from Nonsense 2. Music from Nonsense 2 called "Where We're the Nuns to Come To." And the thing about the CD version, rather like Michael Rouse's Gravity Radio we heard earlier, listening to the music doesn't represent the show. You've got to see these nuns dancing on stage and doing all sorts of other nonsense. It's Nonsense 2 at Parkland College this weekend and next. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I want to encourage you, please, to call in with your support for the program by making a pledge at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. And when you do, Common Ground Food Co-op will contribute the cost of three meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. It's going to be a mostly sunny and cold afternoon, the high 17, increasingly cloudy tonight, the low 6, and tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high of 17. We are at 15 right now. It's WYLL-FM and HD Urbana.